on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable tonight. My guests are Drew Elins, progressive political commentator, Denise Roelark Barnes, newspaper publisher and chair of the National Newspaper Publishers Association, and Gianno Caldwell. What should I call you this time, Gianno? Let's say a Republican conservative
Republican strategy.
Okay, there, you know.
So I'm not a Trump supporter because the election is over. There's no such thing as a Trump supporter anymore.
I would disagree with that.
I don't think there's a such thing. I think that you either support your country or you don't. You can disagree with the office of the president, disagree with the president, but you respect the office. So I'm just
that was hilarious.
Serious.
Hold on. Let me make sure I'm clear. So did you support him when he was running?
I defended him where appropriate.
But you didn't support, and I'm talking about, do you, I don't mean, and I'm not talking about financial, but were you emotionally and politically engaged in support?
I mean, I absolutely defended the president of the United, well, the candidate Trump where I believe appropriate. I'm a Republican. I defend Republicans.
Okay, but now,
so
what has changed? Because I need clarity on this. So what has changed?
In the United States, there's no such thing as a Trump supporter anymore.
I would better disagree, but I'm not going to split hairs about that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Denise, we were talking about black women. Does it look like they are under attack this week?
I would say that, and thinking back many years ago, probably back to Ethel Payne days and some of the black women, and there have been very few. I mean, April is in a very coveted seat in the White House, and there have been very few black women who've represented black organizations that have had a seat in that press office.
Particularly for as long as she's been there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, some of this, it's unfortunate, but being a black woman or being a woman, still you're subject to a different standard. And I think it's not necessarily a bad week. It's just the bad. Sometimes it's a case where it's just the bad straw that we pull because of who we are and the roles that we attempt to play and do very well, but always are challenged in those positions. So, yeah, I mean, I think April was trying to get a question out that had nothing to do with gender, and she will continue to do her job regardless of the attacks that she may face. And so the same goes for all of our members of Congress. It just so happens to me, I think, that there are probably many stories, and there are many stories that women can tell about the things that have happened in their roles as journalists, particularly in that White House. So this happens to be the crazy story of the week, and we're following it. But I think if you talk to her, she's going to talk about the agenda, the issues that she's trying to express, and not what, you know, some tit-for-tat conversation that she had with somebody, which may not be the last time it happened.
And let me say this real quick, Drew, because, some commentators have said that Sean Spicer was racist. He was patronizing. It was sexist. But is it possible that Sean Spicer just treats everyone poorly? Because, I mean, suffice it to say, this was maybe April's second turn. I mean, she had the big confrontation with the president that day. But yesterday.
Only a confrontation.
Yeah. When he was asking about the CBC,
that wasn't a confrontation.
I think that was ridiculous. I mean, like Drew said, presidents don't ask reporters to set up anything.
This
point.
Is a different kind of president.
Right. But exactly. Here's my point. My point is yesterday was April's turn, but we have seen Sean Spicer treat reporters, male and female, the same way.
Yes. That's all I will say. Yes.
Okay.
He has been very aggressive in the way that he has interacted and engaged and shouting down people and all of that. So I don't know if I don't feel that he has treated her any differently, as much as we just know that April has had a history of strangeness, if you will, of how she's been engaged in her role at the White House from the president on to the not only the president, from president to Omarosa, and then to Spicer. So all of that engagement that has been towards her, it can build up into making it seem like it's more. But she has definitely had a very interesting engagement with this administration.
Well, what Giuliani said earlier about the fact that he is a defender of the president puts open
Giuliani.
Gianni, I'm sorry, Giuliani.
Giuliani.
She's like Rudy Giuliani. No, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not that black guy.
I apologize for that. But it just kind of puts it in perspective for me because the folks that work for this administration are in a defensive mode.
Yes,
I understand it now. You've helped me to understand that, and so any question puts them in a defensive mode, and consequently, they feel like there's a need to, not necessarily you, mm-hmm. but to counterattack, when really it is just a question. I'm just looking for an answer to my question.
Mm-hmm.
But if the role is defensive, mm-hmm. then we're not going to make any progress. And I think that's the problem and the challenge that April is going to find, that anytime she asks questions and really is trying to drive, help me to understand.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Acosta from CNN has gotten the same thing, asking hard questions. And you have to admit the Trump administration, Sean Spicer, the president, and others don't like hard questions.
No, I wouldn't necessarily say that. We have to be completely honest in this conversation. And you as a journalist, I think you gave a fair analysis, so to speak. I think that there's been a heavy level of media unfairness targeted at the Trump administration. And let me say it in twofold here. One in which President Trump, candidate Trump, has allowed it to come on in itself about some of the things he said, how he said them, what he did. I get that. But at the same time, when he does something right, you should be fair and honest about that. You should say, okay, that was good. He did that. But when you look at some networks, and I'm not going to shout any out, you look at it, everything is anti-Trump. Now, I get that there's a lot of people that hate Trump, and we can be honest about this. We can be completely and totally honest about it. Some things Trump has brought up on himself.
Is it 100%. Anti-Trump, or is it unfavorable reporting? He may consider unfavorable reporting about him. That's a different.
It's not.
I haven't seen anti-Trump.
If you look at the headlines, and I'm sure you look at Twitter on a daily basis, and you follow these news organizations, every headline is blown completely out of proportion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move to the phone calls. But let me say this. If you look at the first travel ban, okay, there was a lot of negative coverage, you know, but that sent airports around the world into complete disarray, Giano. And the president said, it's going well, okay? That's a disconnect. That's spin. That's spun, you know, so.
I am not a Trump supporter, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll say that, but I am
Some
a journalist.
Supporters don't.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this. I get briefings from the White House every day. And there's one thing that's troubling me. The president has talked about being pro-jobs, bringing jobs back. Recently, this week, he had a press conference, had visitors in the White House talking about an apprenticeship program that he wants corporations to institute for high school students and early college grads who are not finding jobs. It's an intriguing opportunity that I think he's presenting that no one's talking about. He met with the folks from Charter Communications. $4 billion, I believe it is, that they're going to spend to create 20,000 jobs. I mean, why aren't we going down this road to find out what are these opportunities, these jobs? If Trump wants to make bring jobs back to Americans, why aren't we talking about that? Because that's the number one issue with people right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
jobs.
But I think, let me say this, and I've got to go to the phone lines. I think the problem is that when you have people that are associated with the president, when there are suspicions, allegations of associations with a longtime enemy of the United States, what Denise is talking about, that's not going to get above the fold.
Right.
And that's with any administration.
Right.
But let me go to the phones. Joe calling from Suitland, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm a Republican, and I'm not a Donald Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it seems as though he's trying to pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes. But the Republican Party seems to, attempt to follow what he's doing. Donald Trump was originally a Democrat, I believe, a Democrat supporter, and he switched his affiliation. So I don't understand why, a lot of my colleagues and friends are following Donald Trump instead of sticking with the Republican base.
Hmm. Okay. Joe, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Northern Virginia, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the April Ryan and Congressman Waters issue. I think that anyone who can deny that there is a level of disrespect against women in general is in some sort of fantasy, because Mr. Trump himself disrespected women before he became the president. No one held him to the carpet on that. They elected him. And then it continues through his spokesperson. And then to say the gentleman on the panel, Giano, to say that people are just against him, he hasn't delivered. He hasn't done anything yet. So I think that he's getting a fair shake based on his performance. And I think that everyone should be appalled by what has been said and done and the way that he spoke to April Ryan. It's unacceptable. I'm not sure how anyone could think that that's okay, whether he's being defensive. It's just disrespectful. It's just no decorum. They just have no class. They are very classless administration.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Renee. I appreciate it.
Respond
really go right ahead.
In terms
sure.
of he hasn't done anything yet, I can say that that isn't true simply because, as you mentioned, the Charter Communications deal, $1 billion investment for 20,000 jobs, and there's multiple corporations, whether it be Ford, anybody, there's multiple corporations that are coming out saying that they're going to spend money due to Trump being in office. They're going to create some jobs. So I would say that there is something that's been done. Legislatively, that's a different question.
Well, and I disagree also. He has done quite a bit. Now, you may not, if you are not a Trump supporter, then you're not going to like what
support those policies.
Yeah, you're not going to support those policies. You know the right. you know the mm-hmm. you know supporting of the pipeline, the rolling back
Republican,
of the
Republican. If you're not a Republican,
No, I'm. This has nothing to do with party. This has to do with if you are not a Trump supporter. I know you don't like that term, but but the reality is that we talk about his base when you're talking about the pipeline, when you're talking
yes.
about the travel ban, when you're talking about who he has appointed to his cabinet. I disagree with the caller. He has done quite a bit. He has just not done anything that the caller and those that do not support him like. But he has been extremely active in a very short period of time. Let's go to another issue real quick, and we're going to pick this up on the other side, too. There was an event last week, a black media event. Omarosa was also invited. Denise, you were there. What was going on with that? What happened?
So let me correct one thing. Last week, the National Newspaper Publishers Association celebrated Black Press Week. It's the time we acknowledge the founding of the first black newspaper in America, March 16, 1827. And every year, NMPA brings publishers to Washington, D.C. We meet with members of Congress, and we do lots of things. And so we received a phone call from Omarosa, who wanted to come and address us. And so we found an opportunity for her to do that, which was at a breakfast. And it just went downhill from the time she walked in the door.
Well, let's use that as a cliffhanger, because I've got to take a break. We're going to talk about that on the other side. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. When we come back, we're going to hear the rest of that story. We're also going to talk to Ray, calling from Arlington, Virginia. We'll be back in just
right now.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. Before the break, we were talking to Denise Rollark Barnes about the event that happened last week, and we left you with a cliffhanger. Go ahead, Denise. Pick up where you left off, if
you
can.
First of all, I'm not sure if this is really the top story of the week, but let me just say that when Omarosa did come to visit us to speak to our group of publishers on Thursday, there was a question, which we didn't, in my opinion, now this is Denise talking, not chair of the NMPA, I didn't think it was a tough question, although she said journalists asked the tough questions.
What was the question?
And the question asked by Hazel Trice Edney, who mm-hmm. had runs a wire service, was at a meeting that Omarosa hosted with many civil rights organizations and other black organizations, at which our chair, Dr. Benjamin Chavis, was there. It was a off-the-record meeting, but Hazel, outside, got word that the question was asked, who would get the first interview? Or actually, it was said in the meeting that Dr. Chavis would get the first interview with President Trump. Now, my interpretation of that is he's already been interviewed, so it couldn't have been the first. But right. It was assumed in my mind that the question was, would he be the first black journalist to get an interview?
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing whether Omarosa had actually made that commitment because she could fulfill it, or was it a quip? Was she just being flippant in an answer to a journalist from the National Association of Black Journalists? Having said that, when that question was asked of her on Thursday, there became sort of a little catfight between Omarosa and Hazel as to whether the reporting of that incident was accurate. And as Hazel attempted to move on, because the bottom line is, as we talked about, when will the black press have an opportunity to sit and speak with our president? That's really the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And as Omarosa is in charge of, African-American outreach, the director of African-American outreach and communications or something like that,
yeah.
Who else would we ask that question to? Who would be the appropriate person to answer that question? But instead of getting an answer and instead of dealing with it, I mean, appropriately, she turned around and walked out. And so it sounds odd. We both, everyone in that room's jaws dropped because we really couldn't figure out why it had come to that. We
mm-hmm.
looked forward to her speaking. We looked forward to her providing us with some background about what the Trump administration was involved in as it affected African Americans. We looked forward to being introduced to her communications person who was with her, who works specifically with African American press. None of that happened. There was just this catfight.
Let me make sure I understand. So was the debate between Hazel and Omarosa, was it about a reporting before this question?
Yes.
Okay, and I see.
Yes.
And so she was taking issue with the reporting of it, which seems to be kind of pro forma, you know, Omarosa, Sean Spicer, still, you know, questions about, you know, the reporting. But, you know, with that said, you know, it would seem to me that the easy thing to say was, well, I may take issue with the reporting, but let me work on it.
And Hazel tried to get her to that point. She asked again, well, the question is, will an interview take place? But we never got that answer.
Okay. So what's going on with that, Giano? Is there an adversarial relationship between the administration, in your opinion, and the black press?
That's an interesting question. First, I don't think Omarosa is the African-American outreach director. I don't think that's her title. But
she was during the campaign. We
okay,
do know
yeah,
that. That,
yeah, that's but, fair. But White House is a different story.
But let's just move into the answer. She's a top advisor to the president. First and foremost,
the fact that Omarosa called and asked for an audience before this group, I thought was important, because one of which she is one of the most high-profile people in the White House. I know she talks to President Trump on a weekly, if not daily, basis. So she has the ear of the president. So I would not say that there's an adversarial relationship with the press. Now, this whole scenario that played out, we don't have any video. Was there any video of this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen any video. I haven't seen any audio. I would love to check that out. But from what I've seen in writing, I can't really tell exactly what happened and what that relationship was previously. I take it that a high-profile person from the administration, and I'm not sure how many high-profile Obama folks came to your previous events. Was there any?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
To your events, not, yes. Y'all, okay, to your events, okay.
I'm talking about
the level of gravitas that's put in place by having somebody named like her come in, like a Valerie Jarrett. I think that's a big enough deal to say, okay, let's give these folks a chance in on that angle only.
And that is where we sort of, or at least I based my expectation on how that meeting was going to take place, because mm-hmm. we have had Valerie Jarrett. We've had okay. other press folks from the Obama administration that came and spoke to our organization. And we were invited to the White House several times.
Of course.
To interact with members, not the president, but to interact with members of the administration who could answer questions that we had about policies.
Right.
And so that's where we thought this conversation was going. We really look forward to it, mm-hmm. but we never got there.
True.
I was going to say, if you want to go to Ray, I would just say, I think the idea, what I see from Spicer and from this administration is, whether you want to call it adversarial or not with the press, is more of the opportunity to tame the press. And so I think her opportunity just to see, she called to say, I wanted to come and I wanted to speak, but I think she wanted to speak about what she wanted to speak about and not necessarily have to
Everybody
deal with the
knows
difficulty.
You can't tame black
that.
Press.
I
you
get
can't
that.
Tame press in but general.
She probably, and her title, to be clear, is Director of Communications for the Office of Public Engagement.
Right.
So I learned that. I looked that up.
Thank
but
you.
She is, I knew before I came in here, but ultimately she is, to your point, a senior advisor in this White House who deals with communications and who has been the extension of African-American outreach until they field it or do something else with that role. But she has done that. I don't know if they had a multimedia person hired in their comm staff to deal specifically with African American press and Hispanic
Black
press,
media.
Or any of that.
And both of those individuals accompanied her, who
right.
we thought would at least she would introduce to the
right.
publishers, so that we know here in Washington
exactly
we know who to
talk.
Interact with. But these are publishers from all over the country
mm-hmm.
who don't have a relationship
right.
with this administration, and
right.
these are the doors we thought
right.
that she would help us to know
exactly
what those doors are.
Because you all
are.
Could have been one of those Skyped in folks, if you will, if that's the case.
That Sean Spicer often does yeah. during the yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, so there are many ways that she could have done that, and I think it's unfortunate that she walked out. I think it's unfortunate because regardless of whatever she does, it's still representation of this administration, and how, even if the block was real hot in that conversation, even if she felt disrespected.
Okay, but if you
even if she has felt disrespected,
but if that was the case, if you're actively disrespecting somebody who asked
the situation and deal with the situation.
No, we gotta be very honest about this. And I think
and you need to respect the fact that I'm speaking. Because I actually know
right, but hold on for a minute, Drew. Now, let me say this, because again, when you're talking, whether it's Omarosa
right.
or whether it is a cabinet member,
yes.
whether it is the president, whether it is Sean Spicer or the budget director at a press conference, you know, we already know less than 100 days that the news reporters are going to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's not just, and that's why I said felt disrespected. I didn't say she was. I said felt disrespected. And sometimes people feel like getting aggressive, hard questions, and if she came with her own specific agenda and then started getting asked questions, and if she didn't like already what was reported, then the idea is
the video
she's
got so relevant
she's
at this point.
Go back.
And also, and you also have to understand she's no Sean Spicer either, because one could argue that this is really the very first time that she was in front of a group of reporters in a formal situation where questions could be asked.
But this
of
ain't her first rodeo.
It may not have been, but
and she has a relationship. I mean, we have a relationship. The door is open to Omarosa to come back and speak with us.
Right.
And to
but you said she was in a room with reporters and publishers from all over,
right.
As opposed to a one-on-one sit down because you have a relationship.
So, and Drew, this question, if I may,
is that we may not ever get there.
And that's what I mean. Let me go to Ray. Ray's been waiting patiently. Ray, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for your show. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
Good evening to all your guests. I have noticed from the beginning of this administration, really back from when he was running for president, that he was very disrespectful to people, and that's his M.O. So when he put the different people in place in his cabinet, they had the same M.O. So they figured if he can be disrespectful to people, then why not us? We can do the same thing, disrespecting our strong sisters who are in leadership. It's just another classic example. Mm-hmm. So that is my basic observation of this whole situation. I'm not going to talk about his two token blacks. That's not what I want to talk about, because neither one of them know what they're doing anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's his administration.
Okay.
And I may not be in politics, but I am very observant on what I see, and this is what I see. And
Ray, thank you so much for your points. I'm running low on time. Final word, Drew, 10 seconds. Gianno, 10 seconds. And, of course, Denise, 10 seconds. Your thoughts?
I just think it was an unfortunate week that was had once again for this administration. At the end of the day, when you are in front of people, you're always representing the administration. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you have to, if you're going to represent someone like that, you have to take a step back and then recognize, how do I actually respond in a way that will not do harm? And I think they've done harm.
Gianno.
I think there definitely should be a refocusing of the administration, especially after the events that took place last week with the defeat of the repeal replace. In addition, there are some considerations that have to be made in terms of public dealings and how they deal with everybody in a professional capacity.
Denise, real quick.
I just hope that black people in America have the same president as white folks in this country, and that we've got to find out a way that we can work together, because if anybody loses, we'll lose the most.
I can always depend on you for profound statements, can't I? Drew Elins, Denise Rolark Barnes, and Gianno Caldwell. Thank